Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
You are now in the pocket with Covell Hudson.
How's it going, pocket heads? It is April 8th, 2024 on a Monday, and it is an eclipse Monday, not just a regular Monday in the pocket. And, you know, this morning I was last minute, but I had to get me some solar glasses. I went to Walmart, then I went to Sam's Club, then I went to Menards, then I went to Lowe's, and then I went to the other Lowe's. And then there was an old lady saying, "Baby, I think Javi got some." And I'm not going to say what her nationality was. I think you can, I think you can imagine, because she said, Baby Kyle, what is her nationality?
Say it. Could get me in trouble live on air.
Nah, man, you know, it's all right. It's all right, you know.
Okay, yes.
I'll say it. She was melanated.
She was definitely melanated.
Okay, baby. All right, baby.
But, yeah, so, all right, before I speak about the eclipse, let me, I am Covell Hudson.
I'm Tofu Panda.
Kyle Collier producing.
I don't like how prepared you've been for those, Kyle. I like it when he's like stretched across. No diddy.
You got me once. And I'm not going to let you get the strike.
Wow. Oh.
But, all right, let's talk. Okay, so what we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about a little bit Stephon Diggs to the Texans. We're going to discuss what that means for the Bills and what that means for the Texans. And both of them, I say it's kind of scary.
That's it. We'll take that $31 million hit. We don't care. We just want him gone. He's ruining Josh's light.
So, Snead. We're going to talk about Snead and some comments he made after officially becoming a Titans official member and the trade being all official and stuff. He said a few things, and I'll paraphrase. Say a little bit. I never had two elite guys like them. And we'll get more into that. We'll talk about CEH back with the Chiefs. Carson Wentz signs a one-year deal, and Mike Dana signs a three-year deal with the Chiefs. We'll discuss more of that. We will do a Royals rundown led by Kyle Collier. What's the overall record this week, Kyle?
We can get to that in the rundown. I don't want to spoil the surprise.
You don't want to spoil it?
Yeah.
That's how you know Royals.
Kyle was right segment.
Segment. That's right. Okay. All right. So that's fair, because I was going to say, and look at that Royal fan not used to winning. Want to be like, hey, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to blow the steam.
The calendar flipped. It's a new season.
It's a new season? Okay.
You know, I'm upset today, man.
Hold on. Then we'll get into some it poop.
Yeah.
In the pocket or out of pocket at the end of the show. What'd you say?
This eclipse made me mad. The last eclipse, I got scared. It was dark.
well, see, that's what I was going to say. The eclipse, you know that expression, watching paint dry?
Yeah.
Like, yes. Yeah. Oh, but that's what I'm saying. So, yeah, I went to all those stores, and I got the glasses from Hy-Vee, and then, yeah, I was kind of highly anticipating watching it.
I think I looked at it.
You looked at what?
I brought my dog in and everything. I said, oh, Brian, come on in the house, because I don't want you to look at it. And I said, I think it's starting.
I was like, oh, it already started.
It's over?
Is it going that way or that way? Or what's happening? So
it was weak. If you didn't have a telescope, you couldn't really enjoy it.
I'm pretty disappointed with how much excitement was put on it and how much. And, you know, don't get me wrong, space and all that stuff, you know, things like that. That's cool, but. Yeah, it didn't do enough for me. Kyle, what did it do for you?
I didn't watch it.
You didn't watch it?
No. I was running some errands, man. I was busy.
Right by, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I noticed it got dark out for a little bit.
Dark? What was a shadow?
Yeah.
A cloud?
Yeah.
So you didn't think it was Independence Day? You knew the eclipse was happening. You just didn't care about it.
Yeah.
So I cared too much about it is what you're telling me.
Possibly. I would not be Me personally, Covell, I'm not driving to more than one store. Like, oh, you guys don't have glasses? I'll be like, all right, that's fine.
Well,
I went to a bunch of stores.
Wait, where were you? Like 5 minutes
like,
ago.
Like, how many?
I said
in total?
I went to Walmart, then I went to Sam's Club, then I went to Lowe's, then I went to Home Depot, and I went to Menards.
Oh God!
And at Menards is when the lady said, "Baby,
but five."
Five. I wanted some glasses. I didn't want to miss out on this once in a life. Hey, you know what? Why they keep selling us on this once in a lifetime, but eclipses happen every 6 years or something? Why have I seen like five or
every
six?
It was 10 years ago.
But they keep saying, hey, you better watch it. That's like Bills fans saying, you know, Bills football is much watched TV.
They sell you guys those glasses like they did the Y2K package. You know what I'm saying? The kit.
That was a fun time. I remember thinking
the world was going to go back.
Yeah, so at midnight, we just...
Our computers can only read such and such. So it's going to go back to zero, and everything's going to start over.
Yeah, like, we wouldn't take health advice from the Mayans. Why would we take, like, calendar advice? We wouldn't. Oh, this was their workout plan? Yeah.
No, they predicted the world was going to end, and then since then, they've all died, you know?
Like, yeah, yeah.
The Mayans are no more. Why should we listen to those guys?
Why did we listen? We're stupid sometimes as a people, I think.
Yeah, no, we're just uneducated. I wish I could fill you in on that, but we're just uneducated. That's it.
Oh, I've seen our rankings versus the other countries. Other countries be like, oh, you guys don't know who our president is? I'm like, I didn't even know you was a country 2 weeks ago. Like, okay. What should we get into first? What are we going to get into first? CEH is back. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Ty, hey. Let's...
Okay, I'm holding right. on, man. Okay. I'm holding on.
So, me personally... It's a guy that's been in the offense. Like, I have no problem with CEH. I have a problem with him if he's our starter.
Yes. There you go.
But if he's backing up Pacheco, or we just see him in spurts, I think he's pretty good.
He's a good short yardage guy.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Not short yardage.
Not short yardage, but for the most part, he's a great backup. I think he filled in his role.
And he knows the offense. He knows the guys.
Now we know what his role is.
Yeah, yeah. He's a glue guy. Yeah.
Last year, it was a perfect amount of CEH,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah. We know what seasoning to use on him now.
He's that third back.
Yeah.
And that's what he is.
That's what he is.
Yeah, last year.
Yeah.
I thought you meant this year. Okay. So I think, I believe they're going to hang a flyer on a fifth or sixth round draft pick and try to find that third person. I don't think LaMichael P. Ryan is the answer.
He could be.
Yeah, I don't think he is.
That's fine. That's
hey, he could be. I don't think he is.
Two snaps in the game, we don't need him.
Yeah, so right now the Chiefs, they only have two guys who have been there and done that, Pacheco and Clyde.
Well, and think about it. Think of CEH's role. Could you see P. Ryan in that situation this year? And I can't think of what he does good enough to be in that position.
He showed some explosion last year. I mean, that was preseason.
They were throwing the ball to him like he was going out for receiver.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be off the team.
You know, if he can pass block and if he can run some routes and catch the ball, I think Andy would be fine having him as a third option.
Yeah.
But really, I like that as Clyde's spot.
Yeah, yeah.
I want a better rusher behind Pacheco.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like you see the roster, you see Pacheco at the number one, the two is blank, and then it's CEH.
Yeah.
All time. Just put CEH right there.
No,
like,
see,
that makes me number two.
You
no.
tried. I thought we were going to get through the CEH
number
three.
Without shrapnel, you thought wrong.
I thought we were going to. No, like CEH, Clyde, I believe, is a solid backup. He's a solid professional. And, so I give that signing a B because we don't have to find a new guy, hope he has something in the tank, hope he fits in with the culture. We already know what we got.
Yeah, not
CEH.
A spectacular signing, but not a bad one.
Yeah, he's a two-time Super Bowl champion, so put some respect on his name.
I did. I put him on the list. Pacheco.
Oh, boy.
Blank. And then there's CEH.
All right, the second signing of the week was Carson Wentz, and our producer, Kyle Collier, sounded pretty salty about this one. He was actually thought it was a downgrade from Blaine Gabbert is what it seemed like. What's your take on that after it's digested a little bit?
You know, in our little group chat we have, I did kind of explode a little bit. I exploded a little bit. I think it's just because Carson Wentz, I don't know, he just rubs me the wrong way. I didn't like how he exited from Philly. Seemed like an all-about-me guy. And then his final year as a starter in Washington, he was garbage.
Well, the team was garbage.
That's true.
That was a team thing.
But, like, let's put it this way. So
and he had a decent year in Indy the year before.
He had the most topsy-turvy year ever because they shouldn't have been that good, but they shouldn't have been that bad either.
Yeah.
Like, remember, like, Ursay got rid of him because, you know, when they should have beat, like, a four-win team.
It was Jacksonville. They lost to Jacksonville, who was terrible.
And I think, did you see the interview where he kept, somebody was talking to him, and he kept, like, oh, we lost to Jacksonville. Even, he said, we lost to them, and they still picked before us, or something like that. No, he was not happy. But Carson Wentz was a scapegoat on that because some guys in any walk of life, any profession, you see a guy's face and you're like, nah, I don't like that guy.
Yeah.
So I think from the beginning.
I think that's what it was like for me. You know?
Yeah.
I still like the guy.
Yeah. I wish I could think of this actor that I didn't like him because of his face. He's a good actor, but his face just bugs me.
I think it's better, though, with Wentz back there.
Well, it is. But what I want to say, he said he didn't like how he left Philly. All right, so put yourself in Carson Wentz's probably size 11 or 12 shoe.
He's a big bigger dude. Than that. I got size 11.
He's a big he's a big fella. So his size 13 shoe or whatever. Forget it, the size of his shoe. What?
don't be. We couldn't walk if we had like a size 8.
What you mean?
Shoe.
I don't get it.
His big 13 shoe. I felt like it was an attack on me, I heard.
Oh, no. This is you monkey feet size people. Right, I mean, monkey-sized feet people, you know what I'm saying. Oh, they have little feet. Anyway, what are we talking about?
Carson Wentz.
So the year that they won the Super Bowl, Carson Wentz had his team in first place. He was leading in MVP votes. He was the man in Philly.
And he went down. Yeah.
And Nick Foles, the most, what's the word I'm looking for? The most un...
It was shocking, is it to say
the most shocking?
Unheralded.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you.
I'm just guessing.
No. Yes. Like, Nick Foles,
as soon as Wentz went down, you were like, all right, there goes Philly. You know.
And Foles saved the day.
Yes.
And they, held him as their hero.
Yes.
And Wentz was out the door.
Well, no, he wasn't out the door. They won the Super Bowl, and imagine the dynamic. Everybody's in the in the locker room, celebrating off season. They put a shrine in the locker room of Nick Foles, and then Carson Wentz walks in. Hey guys, y'all ready to do this? And they're like,
we thought Nick was gonna drive.
Yeah,
We didn't expect to see you here.
And I think
are you okay?
That offseason, Foles got like 4 years, $90 million from somebody.
And showed that he was
a bust. Jacksonville.
It was. I think you're right.
Yes.
Showed his true self.
They love giving money away. But the thing with so Carson Wentz, his personality from people around him was that he's kind of aloof. He's kind of an arrogant fella, and he's not the most personable.
Yeah, he's not the most team-oriented guy.
But think about the way he plays, the way he played in college, the way he played in high school. He's a big dude, kind of like Josh Allen. I'm just going to do it. You know, so... But yeah, and he was a young guy. And a lot of those guys, look at Cam Newton. Could you imagine Cam Newton, how they felt about his team workmanship? So I think Carson Wentz ended up in a really... weird situation. Even he got hurt again the next year in the playoffs, and then Nick Foles, they won a few games.
Well, now he can't get hurt being a backup.
Oh boy,
unless he falls off the bench.
Yeah, and I'm willing to. I definitely understand how it's been years now. I think Carson Wentz. Obviously, you don't sign here and expect I'm going to compete for the starter's job, right?
No.
Yeah,
it's not even expected that he'll.
He better compete with Oladokun.
Yeah. Exactly. He's going to have Chris Oladokun. They're going to be gunning for that second spot. But I don't think
his name is that easy. Chris?
Chris Oladokun, yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, he's got another name, too.
Oh.
Okay.
That's what the roster says.
Okay. So fair enough.
But clearly, when Carson Wentz signs in Kansas City, you know, he is not expecting to be the man. He knows what his job is.
Exactly. Yeah, but he's here for a check because he knows that.
Well, and not for a check.
I read myself a little article. Uh-huh. Carson Wentz very good at the quarterback sneak.
Yes, he is. And
big dude, like you said. I guess they didn't trust Gabbert between the tackles like that, Ty.
Who was that?
The Chiefs. They didn't trust Gabbert to run the QB sneak like Wentz does.
No, but
maybe Ty had a point by bashing Gabbert so much.
Well, no, like everybody was hoping that Mahomes didn't get hurt. Hurt a pinky finger, roll an ankle, because Gabbert, we saw what Gabbert did in the playoffs and everything. I think Gabbert was good with the clipboard and saying, hey, you should probably do this, Patrick. I see this. But we have Carson Wentz as the backup. If Mahomes goes down, you have at least enough it factor to get a few wins.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can you can still save the season.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm willing to concede that I was just a little bit overzealous in my reaction to the Carson Wentz sign.
You was emotional as hell.
I think it is. It's an upgrade at backup.
It's an upgrade at backup.
That's it. Yeah, that's it.
And if we put it on a scale next to each other, CEH as a backup this year, as opposed to Jerick McKinnon as a backup last year, I think that is a improvement.
1, 2, 3.
Yeah, we hardly saw McKinnon last year.
Yeah, because he was injured all the time. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
he's going to be 31. He's going to be 32, I think. So, yeah.
Bring him back as a running backs coach. All right.
he probably do good, yeah.
All right. So, the last signing that the Chiefs made, fun fact here, it is Brett Veach's first draft pick that has signed a long-term deal with the organization, which is Mike Dana, which is 3-year – $24 million, $13 million guaranteed. And, you know, I think it's funny. You know, us being human beings, grown men, like, what's your long-term plan? And we're usually talking 5 to 10 to 15 years. But in the NFL, a long-term deal is 3 years, 2 guaranteed.
Yeah, right.
I think that's hilarious. That puts it in perspective that it is seen as a long-term deal, but it's not long term at all. I mean, things can change.
You offered me 2 years, 13 guaranteed. I'll take any job.
Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't either.
Hey, you want to be an accountant? 2 years, 13 mil guaranteed. I'll be like, I'll give it a try. Let's do it. You know?
Yeah, but some days I wouldn't want to come into work. That's if fine. I was an accountant.
Tell them I'm working from home today. I got Excel at home.
You got to be on network. All right. So, yeah, Mike Dana.
Good. Good signing.
$8 million a year. So, for sure, $2 million. It seems like it's an, you know, like it's an out. So, it's they have outs for that 3rd year, so it's basically a 2-year deal, $8 million, and the projection, I think they had him making like
30. 3 years, 30 something.
So it seems like he gave the Chiefs a hometown discount to stay. I think that's a B. Oh, Carson Wentz, I think that's a B plus signing. You know, I think it's a C if Mahomes don't get hurt. If Mahomes get hurt, I think it's a B plus signing.
Okay,
what do y'all think?
I think I'm gonna give it an A-.
A minus?
Yeah, I'm gonna give it an A+.
B plus A minus. It is a good signing.
What was your grades for CEH? Mine was a B on that one too.
I think I gave you a B as well.
Yeah. I'll give a C for C.
I knew he was gonna say that.
Yes. I'll give him a C, man.
So yeah, with the signing of Mike Dana, the Chiefs bring back every starter on defensive line from last year. We're going to start the same way, and I think the Chiefs started off pretty good. Nobody's north of 30 except for Chris Jones, but he's a freak of nature. So, you know, those fellas are usually pretty cool. All right. Are we going to get into Steve? Like
you can't coach big, right?
You can't coach big.
That's why you give Chris Jones $30 million when he's approaching 30. Or
I was saying
30.
That about the championship game. I stole your line, by the way.
What line?
Can't coach big.
Can't coach big. And look. And that's why you give the money to Chris Jones, all that guaranteed money, and you let a guy like Snead go. More on Snead when we come back after this.
Turn around.
The longer build up than I thought.
I'm trying to let it ride.
I want to hear it too.
You can talk over it. That's fine.
Well, I'm waiting. I think we all kind of want to hear the beat drop.
Is that Phil Collins version?
Turn. Oh no.
This may be an instrumental.
It might be.
This is, yeah.
Go ahead.
You are listening to 94.5 FM 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City, where we have C Plus Production.
Hey, this is Total Eclipse of the Heart, of, you know.
Total Eclipse
of the Heart. That's what this song is.
Okay, I see you being topical.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
C Plus, give me a B minus at least.
Well, if it had words, if we wasn't sitting here waiting, like, now I look like a doofus, like.
It's all right. Go ahead.
Yeah. But hey, I like the attempt. We are back, and we're going to talk about L'Jarius Sneed. L'Jarius Sneed, the deal sending L'Jarius Sneed to the Titans for next year's third round pick. All that's been finalized. We got to see him in that weak light blue, and you know, he had a few quotes that I'm going to find. I thought I had it pulled up, but I'm going to pull it up. Pocket heads. I haven't called them pocket heads in a while. All right. It's coming. All right. Well, Sneed, we're going to do court. Oh, Kyle, I should have had you do the get gavels or get. No, it's all good. It's all good. But so I'm going to judge. We're going to judge this case. We're almost like jurors or something. Jury duty.
I plead the case, bro.
So we're going to see if Sneed should be added into the list of players that left the Chiefs and then forgot where they came from, forgot where they grew
forgot
up. Forgot what made them great, forgot what made them their career. Got them their check.
Yes. We got you that bag. And now you're going to say something bad?
They're going to say something bad.
That makes me mad.
So L'Jarius Sneed said, to get out there and work with them elite wide receivers, I never had two guys like them going up against them every day, Sneed said during a Sirius XM NFL radio interview. I had great players, but them two guys, household names, they stick out. I can't wait to get to work with those guys. I know they're going to make me better in practice, and I can't wait to pick both of their brains on how to get better. And this guy, he's not talking about Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce. He's not talking about Randy Moss and who did Randy Moss play with? Junior Lynn Edelman. I don't know. We're not talking about any great players. We're talking about DeAndre Hopkins, the older version, and Calvin Ridley, the older version. Have they ever been considered top five receivers in this league?
Hopkins, for sure.
DeAndre Hopkins has earned his. Well,
Not now.
I mean, not now, but he's a part of some crap now, too.
Ever since those PEDs.
But at the same time, though, he still has earned his slot to say, hey, I'm working with a great guy, because he's knowledgeable, too. But really, I felt like it's a reach. That's a reach.
Well, like, so when Sneed was here with Tyreek Hill, he wasn't a starter just yet, but he lined up against him. And Travis Kelce leads the league. I mean, he's the most receptions in postseason history, right? So I know Travis Kelce is a tight end, but he receives the ball pretty well. So I kind of consider him a receiver because he receives the ball. Is that fair? So those statements there, I never had two elite guys like them. Is that on the same level of Jamaal Charles saying, I always wanted to be a Bronco when he signed with the Broncos? Not the same level?
To me, no.
The Jamaal one is like, because I could see Sneed would just kind of took a shot at the receiving core. You know what I'm saying? That's just a shot to them, not really the entire.
But a shot is a shot.
But it's not directed to the Chiefs themselves. And then, you know, we had problems with our receiving core last year.
Yeah.
So I can see him, I can justify him saying that.
Yeah. But and Jamaal when Charles, you get to your new place, you have to love up your teammates. Right?
Yeah, and there's no comparison with Jamaal Charles. With his statement, you think so. This whole time, you was point shaving for the Broncos, or you know, like you didn't really want
to. Yeah, when he said that, what came to mind was the when Peyton Manning was there, Charles fumbled around the 25-yard line.
Yeah,
Chiefs lost that game.
Well, see, and I don't even think of it like that. I think of even as simple as
when you show up to the Denver Stadium and you're like, oh man, I wish I was over there. That is enough to get out of my favorite player. Jamal Charles would be so much higher on my list if it wasn't for that quote. The next quote is Tony Gonzalez at his Hall of Fame speech in front of America and in front of history and historians alike.
Yes.
He said, the Atlanta Falcons really made my career, like legitimized my career. And he broke a lot of records here, and he left there, and they weren't even good.
He blocked a punt here.
Well, you love that block punt. But
because he's a tight end that has – you know, it's almost like Jordan getting his defensive, you know, MVP. I mean, that just doesn't happen for a tight end.
What?
Well, because the reason why I say that, let me explain. Let me elaborate. Listen, just for a second.
Give me some word salad.
Jordan, you start thinking of scoring titles. Scoring. You didn't really think about, like, oh, man, he got a defensive MVP, because you're thinking more offense when you think Jordan.
Yeah, but that's a fool. But it would be more like if Jordan led the league in blocks.
I would never have thought a tight end block, unless he was in college or in high school or something. I would be like, oh, yeah, you probably on special teams because you had to be. But he was a great tight end that didn't have to be out there.
Well, he wasn't a great tight end at that time. He was trying to make sure he stayed on the roster at that point. He was trying to make sure he got more snaps. So it's not like he was a 1,000-yard receiver and then he went out there and blocked the punt.
Let me get out there. I have to tackle some people just in case. That doesn't even sound right.
What were we even talking about? How did we get on the block punt?
Because we're talking about Tony Gonzalez. His greatness was here.
Well, yes, and I understand him. He played with a lot of quarterbacks that I'm ashamed to say that we put in front of him to have throw him the ball. But
yeah,
this is where he, you know, like, yeah, he said it before the Hall of Fame speech. He became a man here because he was drafted here, then he got older, and then he moved over there to try to ring chase, as they say in the NBA, and Matt Ryan and all the whole crew let him down.
Yeah, because
– So Snead, does that put him in the same class as Tony Gonzalez? Is it as egregious?
No, he took a shot.
Y'all being nice.
At the team. You know what I'm saying? I'm just talking about the guys that I went up against. I didn't say, hey, Patrick Mahomes, like – what. I'll let you go ahead and get to the
see,
the
Marshawn
next
Lynch
that
wouldn't
saying
leave
bad.
A team and say something that he wouldn't say while he was there. And I'm not holding Snead to the same standard of Marshawn Lynch as far as realism.
Go to your quote that Tyreek Hill said.
Yeah, I think I know he was trying to get some attention for his podcast that he was doing, you know.
Yeah.
And he was kind of venturing, doing other media opportunities that I don't think the Chiefs were letting him do. Like,
no.
Like that podcast. He said some wild stuff about Tua being more accurate, you know.
Yes, he said Tua is the most accurate, maybe the most accurate quarterback I've ever played for. After winning a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
That was blasphemy.
That was after.
Right after losing
to the Bengals the championship game. But on the level of egregiousness, I still think Snead is lower than that.
So, but should he be fourth on that list, or you think he should be five or six, further
he's
down?
He's at the bottom.
Yeah.
Further down.
I took no offense by it because I don't think he's wrong.
Yeah.
He had Hill last year.
Yeah, but as the young kids say.
And he wasn't really covering. He's not covering Travis Kelce. He's on your number one wide receiver.
He was locking up Travis Kelce in camp. But in this camp here. But you can't glaze DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley like they are the top tandem in the league. Like they just – like they're going – DeAndre Hopkins may make it to the Hall of Fame, but he's never won anything. Receivers don't usually have to. But he's never – maybe for 2 or 3 years he was the best. So I don't like the fact that he went over there bloviating about how good those receivers are compared to MVS, Kadarius.
Don't you give him no ammunition, buddy. Don't you do it.
All right, so
–
you guys, he's off the hook.
Throw that in there.
He's off the hook. So if y'all saw him come back to Kansas City, it's no booze. It's all love.
No, I ain't no booze.
All right. Two-time Super Bowl.
He got paid, and he's in a new place now. LeJarius, thank you for your service to our hometown team.
Watch your mouth.
I did not want to pay you at 27. I'm sorry.
Yeah, me. Well, I didn't have a problem with. I guess I didn't want to pay him either.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Next topic is Stephon Diggs to the Texans. The Texans, over the last few years, what was it? What game was it? Well, every playoff game they lose, Stephon Diggs is not happy about it. And Josh Allen doesn't seem like he's the personality where he was like where he's like, shut up. Just go sit down somewhere. It seems like he's trying to make him happy and trying to, but he doesn't have the, because a lot of these issues.
I know what you're saying. Like a good example is Mahomes and Rice in the Super Bowl maybe.
Yes.
And Mahomes and Rice are going at it.
Mm-hmm.
And Pat is telling him basically to shut up, right?
Yes.
That's not
how. He said he flipped me, he rolled me the effing ball.
Yes, that's exactly what it was.
So shut up.
Yeah.
Yes, and I think that is necessary. I think it's needed. And I think Josh Allen doesn't have that, just like he doesn't have the gene to win it when it really matters. That's not nice. That wasn't nice.
It was not nice, but you're not wrong.
Yeah, and I think the trade, though, itself is about the coach trying to save face, too, because he should be gone.
No, it has nothing to do with that. They had coaching to get him out of the building. No.
They should have kicked the coach out with him.
Because if they were dumping salary all offseason. They have lost a lot.
They lost $31 million.
Yeah.
Well, so if he was on the team, his cap hit would have been $28 million. But since they traded him, it's a $31 million dead cap hit. So that means we'd rather pay $31 million to not have you here.
Oof. Ouch.
That says a lot.
That would have to hurt your feelings.
I mean, that's the Buffalo throwing up the white flag for this upcoming season.
Well, even the GM, they asked the GM, they said, do you think we're better now? He said, no, we're not better now. And that's
ouch.
That's
yeah.
He was like, no. No, we're not.
So they asked him that, and he said this?
We just don't want to deal with him anymore.
Do it again?
No.
Yes. Yes, pretty much. So now, all right. So let's do a timeline. And, you know, like, what I miss about coaching is I miss being able to talk to young kids and tell them, like, it's not just about right now. If you have a bad game today, if you have a bad week, you have a lot of weeks left in life. Life is long. And everything that you do, it turns into your reputation. So, you know, I remember when I used to coach, I used to see, you know, before we play, we watching other games, and I see kids having temper tantrums, yelling at the coaches, being mad or whatever. And I used to tell them, like, hey, you got two more years till you graduate, so you're going to have to, you know, fix your body language. You know what I mean? You're going to have to try to be.
So you think his Diggs was the problem? I mean, well, apparently to them he was.
Well, here's the history of Diggs. He was where did Diggs play before he played in Buffalo? Where was he?
Drawing a blank.
Minnesota.
Yes.
How do you not know that?
Oh, he knew. He just didn't want to say it. And he was the one that got away, but everybody in Minnesota was like, I'm glad that guy's up out of here. Kirk Cousins started rapping and stuff. He started dancing. Once he left, we saw Kirk Cousins celebrating. But, and I guess Kirk Cousins did say Adam Thielen's the best receiver in the league. So implying he is the best receiver on the team, and Stephon Diggs didn't do a good job handling that. They had issues before that. But Stephon Diggs attituded his way out of Minnesota. He felt like he didn't want to be the second receiver. He wanted to get more targets. He wanted to be the guy.
But isn't it? Do you call it being difficult, or are they just passionate that I can change the game? Put me in the game, coach. I can change the game. That's what I'm just passionate, and I'm mad when we're losing. Yeah. And bro,
so are you condoning being mad all off season? Based on a loss that your team lost, and you're mad at the quarterback and the coach, but childishly.
But you watch film and you look at you like, see, yo, if we would have ran the post like I said with me, we would have won this game.
My issue with Diggs is his Buffalo era. He was not a number two. He was number one, far and away.
Yes, he's number two in targets over the last 4 years.
Yeah, overall,
so,
yeah.
So if he wasn't happy in Minnesota and he went to the Bills and they were perilling, wow.
perennially.
Wow, you knew what I was trying to do. My mouth turned on me there. Perennially a good team. Why are you not happy? Of course, everybody wants to win. Everybody wants to win a Super Bowl. But he would have been better served trying to build the team. You know what I mean? What can we do better? What can I do better? So now he's going to the Texans. And you know what I'm afraid of? Not the Texans overcoming the Chiefs. I'm afraid of Stephon Diggs turning you remember Baker before he had Odell Beckham? He was passing the ball around. He was getting the ball to the open guy without pressure to get the ball to somebody. They got Odell Beckham in there, and then he started force-feeding him the ball.
Stroud is going to try to make him happy?
Well, I think potentially Stroud can be in a situation where he's getting pressure put on him because Allen got pressure put on him all the time. And I don't know C.J. Hall. I don't know C.J. Stroud's personality enough to know if he's going to say, Diggs, sit your old self down. Because you know how them young dudes, they call everybody old.
Yeah, Stroud put up crazy numbers last year as a rookie with Nico Collins and Tank Dell.
Yes.
Legit weapons.
So what could change is he's not just looking for the open guy or he's hot. They're covering him like this, so now I'm going to get it to him. Now he's going to have to be focused on Stephon Diggs.
And we say, give him a minute to get open. Now he's holding the ball too long.
Now he's getting hit more.
Instead of, you know, reading and checking down.
Yes.
It'll mess up them check down.
And
so what needs to happen is Stephon Diggs needs to change.
Well, yeah. But that is.
Yeah. I mean, that's quite obvious.
Well, yeah.
I know. I just made a very obvious statement there.
Obvious.
Do the Texans make that deal if they know if Stephon Diggs doesn't get enough targets, he's going to be
missed? You know what they did? They said it was kind of trying to help out Diggs, but they. I got to look into it. It doesn't really make sense to me. I don't even know if it's a precedent that should be set. But they said that those 3 years on the contract, forget those. You have a good year, you can cash out in free agency. And you don't do that if you're worried about a guy, if you're not worried about a guy being around for a long time. Would you agree with that? They're basically saying like, if it goes good, we'll keep you around maybe. If it goes bad,
we just
lost a second round draft pick.
You're gone.
But we went all in for our young guy.
Yeah.
So, I'm worried for C.J. Stroud. I'm worried for the Texans. But I feel good about it as a Chiefs fan because, we've seen.
Chaos in your locker room is our success.
Yes, we've seen for the last 4 years Diggs on a contending team, and they're just not able to get over that hump.
But, yeah, they're not able to get over that hump. And as the GM knowing that your team hasn't gotten better, you still not gonna get over that hump. Now, if you saying that, okay, we're not better without them, right? That means that you don't really plan or foresee you getting that production next year.
Well, to be fair, the last eight games of the season, Diggs wasn't a big part of the offense. I think that could be another reason why they were like, he wasn't a big part of the offense. We ran the ball more. We made little intermediate passes. As a matter of fact, Josh Allen to Diggs, the deep ball, I don't have the numbers, but that was like the worst rating in the league because Josh Allen was trying to force it to angry what's his name?
Stephon Diggs.
Stephon Diggs.
It's
and you know
Diggs.
What? And it's close to and not really. But remember when the Panthers got rid of Steve Smith? When Cam Newton was young?
What was his numbers last year?
Who?
Stephon Diggs.
He had like 1,100 or 1,200 yards. But, what was I talking about?
What was it, Smith? Steve Smith?
So, like.
What? When he went to.
Well, Cam Newton was asked. He said, so why did Steve Smith leave there or whatever? He basically said he was the voice there and he was coming into his own as the quarterback, so it needed to be his team rather than it being Steve Smith's team.
Because Steve Smith was a beast.
He was a beast, but he had a big personality.
He was a beast.
Yeah, so Covell, you are right about Diggs. 2020, 1,500 yards, 21. 1,200 yards, 22, 1,400 yards, almost 1,500. And then last year, his lowest count, 1,183.
And most of that damage was the first nine games. Yeah.
But still.
The winning streak.
I feel like they don't feel, if they say that they're not a better team by letting him go, they don't foresee them getting that type of production out of a new guy in that position.
Well, not necessarily, because, yeah, you just look at the last eight
just
games.
Just 1,100, period.
Well, but you just look at the last eight games, they're basically saying, okay, he averaged like 38 yards. Even in the playoff game against the Chiefs, he only had like two catches or something like that.
Yeah, he was held.
So like the Bills were still successful, and they didn't need to give the ball to him that much. So they can be like, if we had him here last year at 28 and it didn't help us much, we cannot have him for 31.
Similar to what the Chiefs said about Tyreek Hill. Now,
I mean, that's bad.
The Chiefs got a lot more in return for Tyreek Hill, and the Chiefs were a lot better of a team than the Bills were at this current stage when they got rid of Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
But basically, are the Bills saying, Josh Allen can do this without you?
Because, yeah.
I think they're saying, let's get rid of him.
But at 1,100 yards, you're looking at the numbers by then. So you're saying 1,100 yards. They're not going to replace that with a new guy.
What's your point? What you mean?
You know what I'm saying? So the Bills saying they're not going to get better, you know what I'm saying? They'd rather had just like, hey, we don't care about the output. We don't care about the 1,100.
No.
We just want you gone.
No, it's what is it?
We just want you gone because your attitude of being passionate.
Addition by subtraction.
That's the simplified thing. They're like, he's still kind of good. He's over 30. He's an attitude. Like Skip Bayless keeps saying about Draymond Green, we get to a point when you're, more trouble than you're worth. And I think that's where the Bills came to with Stephon Diggs. And I can't argue with them.
It happened with what? Randy Moss? It happened with T.O.? It happened with.
Well, it's deeper receivers.
But.
And deeper receivers don't win Super Bowls.
Ones, though.
Deeper receivers don't win Super Bowls.
That's not true.
Historically.
That's not true.
Besides Jerry Rice, besides Tyreek Hill when he was on the Chiefs, name a top receiver, a Hall of Fame receiver, that won a Super Bowl. Oh, wait. Randy Moss didn't win one when he was on that Patriots team.
Ed McCaffrey.
What? All right, when we're back, we will do a Royals rundown, and we will have some in the pocket or out of pocket, a.k.a. it poop.
I had to throw it out there.
We are back in the pocket, Pocket Heads, on 94.5 FM, 1510 AM, ESPN, Kansas City. And we have a doozy for you. Your hometown Kansas City Royals, Royals Rundown, brought to you by Kyle Collier of In the Pocket.
Kyle Collier.
Oh, is that my intro?
Oh, yeah.
Love you,
Kyle. I'm ready to go. All right, guys. I believe last week I called for they're off today. But I called for 4 wins and 3 losses.
That's right. You just wanted 4.
What did they give us? They gave us 5-2.
What?
Mm-hmm. 5-2?
5-2.
5-2.
So Kyle was right. He was right.
Kyle
was right.
And I was kind of wrong, too, because they gave me one more than I expected.
And exactly.
Honestly, I watched every game.
You undervalued them.
I did. I did, didn't I? I watched every game, and they could have had 6 because they had – well, actually, they could have had all 7.
You're talking about that walk-off.
The walk-off,
oh.
They blew 2 saves.
That was dusty.
Yeah. When I turned to the game in the final innings, I was like, all right, okay, they got this. All right. I was like, oh, I done missed half the game. And then
the inevitable happened. All right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So the great thing is they're 6-4 right now. Couldn't have imagined a better start. They take on good teams like the Twins, who won the division last year, and Baltimore, who won 100 games last year, and they're competitive. They
haven't been over 500.
Yeah, they're not getting blown out, and then they take care. What do good teams do? They take care of the bad teams, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
The White Sox are ass, right? I'm going to quote one Moneyball. There's bad teams, then there's 50 feet of crap, and then there's the White Sox. And the Royals took 4-4 from the White Sox, and I'm very happy that they did it.
That – not to discredit the Royals' five wins, but against the worst teams. So, like, how can we grade the wins? Because how would you grade them?
You took four games.
And in past, we would let those teams look like
last year's Royals split that series.
Fair enough.
In the final game, it was a come from behind win. MJ Melendez on fire. That's one of the young bats you need to support. And in this White Sox series, you know, Bobby Witt Jr. really wasn't all that effective. So the guys around him, when the guys around your superstar start hitting, and it just comes together.
That's what they were hoping for with Mike Sweeney.
Yeah, exactly. Sweeney was the only dog on that team. So, all in all, guys, the Royals are 6-4. They're third in the division right now. The Tigers are 6-3. The Guardians 7-2.
And, so we're not that bad.
No, 6-4.
How's Boobage's injury?
We're not gonna hear a whiff of him until
a whiff. That's an odd word to use in that situation.
A whisper. We're not gonna hear from him. We're not gonna hear from him until July.
A whiff of Boobage. All right. So what are you projecting the Royals to do next week, sir?
All right. They got tonight off. They got three games against Houston, and then three games against the Mets. That final game against the Mets being on Sunday. Then we'll have our next show Monday, and then they'll have the White Sox Monday night. So we got six games upcoming. Houston, pretty good team.
So what do you call
I want them to...
The Mets. Ooh. We can beat the Mets.
I want them to beat Houston bad. I just hate Houston. Out of any baseball team...
Hey, they only cheated 1 year. All right.
I'm okay with a 3-3, a split. Because I think Houston can beat you 2-1 in a three-game series. If you could take two from Houston and take two from New York... Give me a 4-2.
So you want 4-2?
I want 4-2.
4-2.
Okay.
I'll mark it down, and I'll remember to get some flashback sound effects. And
you think we're going to do some – you think it's going to be another week of Kyle was right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
If they're 4-2, then, yeah, I'm feeling good.
Okay. All right.
That's dope.
Cool beans. So anything else with the Royals?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, that's
it's business as usual for winning ball clubs.
Whoa. All right. His chest was real out right
there.
Yeah.
All right. He did his Conor McGregor walk when he came in the studio today.
I can't even do it.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the Royals rundown. We look forward to seeing how they're looking. And I have a few it poops revolving.
Ooh, I
revolving.
Can't
wait. Revolving.
Around the Royals.
Revolving around. Wow.
Revolving.
I can't. I'm.
That's why I'm here.
It's okay. And I have a gig speaking and I can't spoke. Like, what's going on? All right. So now we're going to move into some it poop. And if you don't know what it poop is, then you're not a true pockethead. But if you're a true pockethead, I'm going to explain it again. In the pocket or out of pocket, where we say a phrase or question, a statement, and then we decide if it's in the pocket or out of pocket. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Go first.
So, hold on. Let's not do any... what was that quarterback that got signed to the Patriots?
Jacoby Brissett.
No Jacoby Brissett. No Tony Gonzalez punting.
Because I was right about Brissett. He got a job before Gabbert. All right. No, this is going to the Gamecocks.
Oh, boy.
I stole one out of you. I stole a line from you, and you was right. You can't coach big.
Mm-hmm.
So, I am going to ask you guys this. When Caitlin Clark faced some actual defense for the first time.
Out of pocket.
This season.
Out of pocket.
Was she exposed in the championship game?
I don't even think we have enough time for me to answer this question, but what's your?
You know, she was exposed.
She had like 20 in the first quarter.
Yeah, until
she got a little bit cold.
They changed defenders on her. That's why she got shut down, and that was the first time that she hit because she had about six or eight turnovers.
I mean, on that team, she is the main ball handler. She is the offensive.
She's
that
everything.
Team.
And that's what Iowa's problem was. It was like, what's the play? Just get it to Caitlin.
Well, that's been a play all year.
And nobody, yeah, exactly. Nobody played defense on it.
Okay, what? Cap.
They tried.
Everybody comes in there trying to play defense on Caitlin. But
So Caitlin took 28 shots and she ended up with 30 points. In the NBA college ball, if you end up shooting, if you shoot the ball more times than the points you have, then that means that the defender did a good job. So she shot it 28 times, she got 30 points. So that means she was more efficient than the defense playing on her. But
no,
but,
that doesn't she paint the story, brother.
All right, the five starters, 27 minutes, 35 minutes, 40 minutes, 40 minutes, 40 minutes. The bench, 13 minutes from O'Grady, 5 minutes from Fuhrbach. I don't know how to say that. Which is a total of 3 shots, 2 points from the bench. So the fact that Caitlin drugged that team there.
They got within 5 at the end.
Yes, they just didn't have enough horses. Just like when LeBron took the Cavaliers to the finals with Dellavedova
and JR.
And JR Smith.
Yeah.
Like, so you can't put that on LeBron and say he got exposed.
Yeah,
no,
he had 51 in the first game, and they still lost.
Yeah, so completely out of pocket. She did not get exposed. Their team played against a better team.
We'll see when she make it to the when she goes to the WNBA. We'll see.
Big three, baby. All right, you got another one?
Go ahead.
Oh no, do you have any? Okay, so real quick. Royals will move downtown, and Kansas City will be happy.
In the pocket?
In years to come, yes, in the pocket.
Okay. Chiefs will renovate the stadium, and Kansas City will be happy.
In the pocket. I don't know if they'll be happy.
They're going to renovate the stadium. I'll stick with
that.
They're
going to do something.
If you're a VIP ticket holder, you're going to be taken care of.
If they don't let them, then Clark's moving to Kansas. We'll see.
Legends.
I'm speculating.
Kansas City, Kansas Chiefs, yuck. Oh, I'm sorry, Kansas. Rice gets over 4-game suspension based on the information that we have right now.
In the pocket.
Oh, I'm getting 8. I'm going 8 still.
Okay.
With some paraphernalia in the car.
Yeah.
Sneed's comments were out of pocket or in the pocket?
In.
Oh, y'all crazy.
They in the pocket.
Y'all are too nice. In. We're getting soft in this world.
You just...
What's
he supposed to say, man? Going up against Sky Moore last year in practice.
Just
what a battle.
I didn't tell him to lie. I didn't tell him to lie.
Kadarius Toney just challenged me so much. Oh my God.
Yeah,
I
no, so challenging him by yelling at him from the bench because he was, you know, he's probably hurt.
Oh, wow. Wow.
He was.
Yeah, that's true. How much time are y'all left?
Not very much.
Okay, well, we'll be back next week. To discuss the Royals, to discuss what the Chiefs are doing. We'll probably get into
let's
a little
just
bit of
the
NBA.
At the Royals.
And UConn will be winning the men's championship tonight.
Yeah, let's make our picks right now.
UConn. It's too easy.
I've been calling UConn.
Okay. Yeah, I'm also UConn.
Yeah. Okay. UConn, do it. We'll be back next week with In the Pocket.